Our problem is yielding to temptation. We are very easy on ourselves when we yield to temptation, but that's what ought to get us sad.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant offered how it is that some Christians unwisely go looking for temptation. But temptation can also come looking, and that's exactly what happened to young Joseph. If you know the story, Joseph was looking good to Potiphar's wife, but Joseph escaped out of her hand, knowing that even secret sins are known by God, and he has never promised to keep them secret. Pastor Grant used the example of David's sin with Bathsheba to show how, though God forgives confessed sins, there are consequences. Turn with us to 2 Samuel 12 as Pastor Grant resumes his message, "Lead Us Not Into Temptation." Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
And so here's what Nathan says, because this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also is born to you shall surely die. But that wasn't the end. Go to verse 10. Now therefore, Nathan said, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before you and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. I am going to shame you. And then you read on, and you'll find it as you go into, you'll find that there was a time that one of his sons rebelled against him, and the King David, he had to leave Jerusalem. He had to run away from the palace. He had to run and hide in the bush because his son was trying to kill him. That's all part of the consequence for the sin. And young person, older person, God is trying to get across a point to us this morning. Sometimes, because we are evangelical preachers, sometimes you get the idea that when you confess your sin, that's the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. And so God is saying to you this morning, as he's saying to me, if there's anything that's not like the Lord, we need to pray, take it away from me. Samson was the strongest human being that has ever lived. In the book of Judges, you can read some of his incredible accomplishments, how many people he would kill just with his bare hands. He was amazingly strong, but he was morally weak. And because he could not control his sex drive, it cost him his life. Young men, older men, learn to control your sex drive. Ladies, learn to control your sex drive. It might cost you your life. In Judges 16, Samson, he goes to a Philistine woman. It was from one woman to another. Now, why in the world was Samson hanging around with a Philistine woman? Well, I guess it's the same reason why somebody here this morning is hanging around with an unsaved guy or an unsaved girl. You know the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, but God will make an exception for me. So he hangs around. Listen, young man, get rid of the Philistine. Get rid of that unsaved relationship. Do it God's way. Parents, encourage. I am blown away that so many Christian parents, they see their children in unsaved relationships and they do nothing. They don't say, listen, honey, here's what the Word of God says. Find some way to encourage him to obey God. Because parent, there will be a consequence. And you're going to be coming with your heart, with your poor heart bleeding when the consequence comes. So I am encouraging you, parent, find a way to encourage your child and your grandchild to do things God's way. So, of course, Samson, now he goes to this Philistine woman. And she, the Philistine leaders, they try to get, what is the secret to Samson's strength? And she wears down poor Samson. She wears him down. And poor Samson eventually tells her the secret to his strength. The Philistine leaders come and they are now able to capture Samson. They've captured Samson. They gouge out Samson's eyes. They bind him with fetters. And as I read this story, I said, what a thing. The strongest human being who has ever lived, made strong by the power of Almighty God. And here he is in a Philistine prison with his eyes gouged out. And he's all in fetters and chains. A man who under the authority and the power of God could kill thousands at a time. And they have bound him and chained him. Put this down. Yielding to temptation can derail us from reaching our destiny. Put that down. Yielding to temptation can derail us from reaching our destiny. We're talking about living a life of impact. And last week we saw, because here is the problem. Sometimes we are very angry when someone hijacks our dream. There's some of you right now who probably not speaking to somebody because they hijacked your dream. But the problem is, are you with me? Your problem and mine, our problem is not hijacked dreams. Our problem is yielding to temptation. We are very easy on ourselves when we yield to temptation, but that's what ought to get us sad. Because it is not the hijacked dream that wrecks us from our destiny. It is when we yield to temptation, that's what derails us. And so Samson, he dies. Yes, he is able to kill a number of people while he's dying. But Samson, this man with so much promise, he dies crushed to death in a Philistine prison. Listen, let's not go that way. Amen. Don't fall for that myth. But let me share with you before we quit. Let me share with you how to deal with temptation. We've seen the myths. There is no such thing as secret temptation. So don't allow yourself to fall for temptation because you think it's secret. Listen. Yielding to temptation has consequences. It does end with confession. So how do I deal with it? Let me give you four things. Number one, don't trivialize it. A man visited a psychiatrist and he said, I've been doing some bad things and my conscience is troubling me. The psychiatrist said, would you like me to give you some medicine that will give you stronger willpower? The man says, no, I don't want medicine to give me stronger willpower. I want you to give me some medicine that will weaken my conscience. Because what he wanted was that his conscience wouldn't bother him when he does the bad things. And it seems to me that the Christian conscience is being weakened. According to the 2014 state of dating in America, that's 2014, I wonder what it's like now. According to the 2014 state of dating in America report, 61% of Christians, are you listening to me? 61% of Christians said they would have sex before marriage. 54% of Christians said it's okay to live together before marriage, provided you've been dating for 6 months or more. Something's gone wrong. Something has gone wrong. So what can we learn from Joseph? What can we learn from Joseph? Look back to Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 9. Don't miss what Joseph said. This is, listen how he ends. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I am suggesting that we make clear in our minds, we don't trivialize it. Put this in your notes. Yielding to temptation is great wickedness, and it's sin against God. My brother, my sister, no matter what age you are, you may not even be a Christian, I want you to know right now that when we yield to temptation, whatever the temptation is, it is wickedness. Yielding to temptation is wickedness. And somehow, if we had this in our mind, we would not play around, we would not trivialize it, the Christian church would not be saying, it's okay. Don't trivialize it. But second way to deal with temptation, use your running shoes. 7-year-old Johnny was anxious to eat his mother's freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. How many of you like chocolate chip cookies? How many of you like warm chocolate? Oh, there's nothing like when it's warm, is it? Oh, I don't. It's okay for you to give me that thing in the bag, but to be honest, it's not like the homemade. And even homemade, when it gets cold, you know, when my wife, my daughter sometimes would make those good homemade chocolate chip cookies. I'd have to take, if it got cold, I'd put it in a little saucer and put it in the microwave. I just get it where the chocolate is starting, just to melt a little bit. Oh, that's heaven. So poor Johnny, he's smelling this heaven of goodness in the kitchen. And mommy said, Johnny, just remember the chocolate chip cookies are for after dinner, so don't touch them till after dinner. But of course, poor Johnny, he creeps into the kitchen nice and quietly, and he's trying to get a couple of cookies out nice and quietly. But the lid of the cookie jar shook, and mommy heard the sound. And she said, Johnny, what are you doing in there? You know what Johnny said? Johnny said, my hand is in the cookie jar, but it's only in there. I put it in there because I'm trying to teach my hand how to resist temptation. Can you imagine that? Johnny says, I'm really just trying to teach my hand how to resist temptation, and that's why I put it in the cookie jar. You know, some Christians play that game. We try and see how far we can go without sinning. You ever play that game? Come on. Don't fess up. I will. I've tried it.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Can you imagine how stupid it would be, Mrs. Potiphar? She's after him. She wants him fierce. Suppose Joseph said, okay, God, I'm going to resist. She's naked. He's naked. They're in bed. And here Joseph, dear Heavenly Father, please help me. Take it away from me. Take it away from me, Lord. Wouldn't that be crazy? You see, once your hand is in the cookie jar, it's too late to turn back. God is speaking to us this morning. He's warning us. Don't even go in the kitchen where the cookies are. You know what I'm talking about. Whatever is your issue, whatever is the area, because you know, the area of temptation that Mary may have is not the same area where Martha might have. But whatever the area that you are most prone to sin, my brother and sister, don't go walking up to the cookie jar. Boy, the cookies look so nice. Woo! Let me just see how they feel. Stay away. Heed what 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us. It says, flee the very appearance of evil. It says, run, run, run from the very appearance of evil. Rather than flirting with what could lead us into sin, let's use our running shoes and let us run. Hallelujah. Well then, third, what have we said so far? What are the ways to deal with temptation? Number one, don't trivialize it. Use your running shoe. Third, seek God's help. In what's called the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said we should ask God to lead us not into temptation. That's what I've titled our message today. Lead us not into temptation. Here's the question. Does God lead us into temptation? Let me answer this theologically for you. Because the Bible is very clear. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and you can put that down for further reading, but in James 1, 13, it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt any man. God does not tempt anybody. He says everybody is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust and enticed. God does not, so if God does not tempt us, if he does not lead us into temptation, what does he mean in the prayer in Matthew's gospel chapter 5 when he says lead us not, in Matthew's chapter 6? So let me read Matthew 6:13 in another version. And here's how the NLT version puts Matthew 6:13. It says, and don't, listen, are you with me? And don't let us yield to temptation. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Jesus was teaching us that he has the power to rescue us from the evil one. He has the power to help us not to yield. And so I'm going to encourage you, as part of your regular prayer life, don't just pray it by rote, because some of us have a little rote prayer. In my little bed I lie. Heavenly Father, hear my cry. Lord, don't make this a part of a rote prayer, but make it a part of heartfelt prayer where on a regular basis you pray, now that you're recognizing how serious it is to yield to temptation, make this a part of your prayer where you're begging God, you're petitioning God, God, please don't let me yield to temptation. God, please rescue me from the evil one. I didn't know the choir was going to sing that song. But in other words, if there's anything that's not like you, choir, you can help me out. Take it away from me. They didn't give me all the words I was looking for, but the bottom line, take it away from me, Lord. He can. Young person, he can. Young person, he can. He can give you victory. And I tell you, his word. David says, how can a young man keep his way clean? He says, by taking heed to your word. He says, thy word I have hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Listen, ask, seek God's help. You get God's help not only by praying. You get God's help by you as you soak yourself in God's word. God will help you as you soak yourself in this word. But finally, so suppose something happens. Suppose you fell for temptation. What do you do? Fourth point. Final. Come to God with a broken and repentant heart. It's easy to ask God to forgive us, but what God wants is a broken and repentant heart. You know, when David was confronted by Nathan, we saw that in 2 Samuel. David was confronted by Samuel regarding his sin with Bathsheba, and he confessed, but that was not the end of the story. He confessed, but later he went and spent time in true repentance before God. So let me close by turning you to Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51 as we bring this message to a close. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I encourage you to read it when you go home. Psalm 51. David has already confessed his sin. And now in Psalm 51, verse number 1, he says to God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Listen, listen, listen. David is coming to grips with how sinful his sin was. Young person, stay with me. Have you really come to grips with how sinful your sin was? David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and I have done this evil in your sight. And he says, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Jump over to verse number 14. David says, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And this morning, as we bring this message to a close, it could be that you have fallen. You have given in to temptation. Perhaps you have confessed. But God is saying, have you really had a broken and a contrite heart? Have you really had a godly sorrow about your sin? My friend, if you haven't gotten there, you need to get there today. You need to come before God in a total spirit of brokenness and ask God to forgive you and to clean. Listen, keep in mind, he's not going to clean the slate, but listen, to make you totally acceptable. Listen, when we get there, you see, part of our problem is that when we just say, forgive me, Lord, we'll do it again. When we get to this point where we have a broken and a contrite heart, something changes. And so this morning, God has spoken. Father, help us to be the people you want us to be. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.